You're listening to lgradio.online. Welcome to In the Benny Green Archives.
Browsing through an ancient work called The Blue Book of Timpanelli the other day, I came across an entry that attracted my curiosity. It said Irving Berlin wrote the most successful Broadway show of 1931. Why it attracted me was that I recall reading somewhere that around the 1930 period, Berlin was having what was for him a barren time. I could have sworn that he hadn't been very successful in 1931. And sure enough, when I double-checked in two other books, it said that not only had he not had a big hit that year, but that he hadn't even had a flop. He hadn't had a show on at all in 1931. As a matter of fact, between 1927, The Ziegfeld Follies, and 1932, a review called Face the Music, there was no Berlin show. For him, this was unprecedented. 5 years and no new show. The reasons remain obscure, although the Wall Street crash, which gave Berlin's bank account such a nasty jolt, might have had something to do with it. But there weren't even any really big songs either in that period. And not till 1932 did he seem to regain his best form. Before I make a note of that, here's something from the 1933 review which is still fondly remembered. It was an attempt to put a newspaper onto the musical stage. All the songs and sketches represented various columns in the paper. There were cartoon songs, social news songs, theatre reviews, weather forecasts, advice to the lovelorn, and so on. And this meant that the performers had to impersonate people in the news, which is why Marilyn Miller ended up aping Joan Crawford and Barbara Hutton, Clifton Webb turned himself into Douglas Fairbanks Jr., John D. Rockefeller and Mahatma Gandhi, and Helen Broderick pretended to be Mrs. Herbert Hoover, Amy Semple McPherson, Queen Mary and the Statue of Liberty. I wish I knew which section of the paper this song fitted. The advice to the lovelorn, possibly.
How's chances? Say, how are the chances of making you love me the way I love you? How many young girls must I fight with to be in right with you? How's chances for one of those glances, a glimpse of heaven I'm longing to see? Start taking your chances with me. Must I fight with to be in right with you? How's chances for one of those glances, a glimpse of heaven I'm longing to see? Start taking your chances with me.
Ella Fitzgerald and House Chances from the 1933 Broadway Review as Thousands Cheer, opening date September the 30th. Once you realise that the show was based on the various items in a daily newspaper, a lot of the songs fall obviously enough into their particular compartments. For instance, there had to be a weather forecast, and that's why Berlin wrote, "We're having a heatwave." There was one headline about a lynching, which opened the way for Ethel Waters to sing the lament, "Supper Time." In the Advice to the Lovelorn column, the audience heard a song called Lonely Heart. But the most famous item of all involves the difference between American and British terminology. In America, the photographic section of a newspaper was known as the rotogravure, which is why Berlin was so determined to work that awkward word into the lyric of a song. Now, the rotogravure was a kind of society column in pictures, where the celebrities of the town would be seen doing a succession of the usual fatuous things, drinking in nightclubs, attending the opera, being seen at someone's wedding or even at their own divorce, and so on. Berlin most ingeniously turned all that into something much sweeter and gentler, and including in the middle section the word rotogravure. Now, in 1935, As Thousands Cheer came to London, and there had to be wholesale changes because British newspapers weren't the same thing. Words like rotogravure had to be exchanged for something more comprehensible to the locals. And in the end, it was hardly a Berlin show at all that came to London. Only four of his songs were retained, and the gaps were filled by items from Schwartz and Dietz. But this next song, the big hit, had an English version which referred to Rotten Row instead of Fifth Avenue.
The grandest lady in the Easter parade. You'll be all in clover, and when they look me over, you'll be the proudest fellow.
On the avenue, Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap us, and you find that you're in the rotogravure.
Oh, you may write a sonnet. Of the girl you're taking to the Easter parade. On the avenue, Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the rotogravure.
Oh, in my Easter bonnet, with all the friends upon it, I'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade.
Easter parade. That, of course, is the most famous case of a song getting a new lease of life through a new set of lyrics. The original song had been called Smile and Show Your Dimple, circa 1919. And that disappeared, and years later, Berlin rescued a good tune by dispensing with a bad lyric. Now, I've often wondered aloud in these programs how bad that original lyric might have been. And some time ago, a Mr. Al Davis sent me what he said was the original lyric. I'm deeply grateful for the help, and I have to say the words really are pretty bad. Instead of I'll be all in clover, and when they look us over, I'll be the proudest fellow in the Easter parade, the original runs, for when laughter crops up, it makes you turn your chops up and makes your awful features seem easier to bear. Now, that doesn't quite sound like 1919 or like Irving Berlin to me. And again, one or two of the lines don't quite fit the melody, and as a clincher, there's a reference to TV. In 1919, what would settle the argument is a copy of the original music. So far, nothing. Still, we live in hopes. Well, I said that in 1932, Berlin broke his own lean period with a couple of outstanding songs. One was so outstanding that years later, another songwriter, faced with the opening of the proceedings of a one-man show dedicated to his own work, chose this Berlin song to start off with. Now, that is a remarkably humble thing for any songwriter to do, even if after a minute and a half he modulates into one of his own songs. The humble man, most surprisingly, turns out to be Sammy Kahn.
I thank you and good evening. I'm not sure why you're here, but I know why I'm here. Mr. Levine assured me that you'd find me totally entertaining. I know that my youthful appearance belies the fact, but I've been writing lyrics for over 40 years. I believe that a word is only as great as the note it sits under. I also believe that the craft and the art of putting words to music is a very special and magic business. And there are many, many examples I can give you of this art. But of the many, the one that comes to mind very quickly is this little example by Mr. Irving Berlin when he says, "And if I ever lost you, how much would I cry?" Well, I don't believe you can sing those words to those notes without becoming involved, without wanting to cry a little. That's what Mr. Berlin is about. If I had to give you an example of what I consider matching words in music, I'd say, "Call me irresponsible, call me unreliable, throw in undependable too. Do my foolish alibis bore you? Well, I'm not too clever, I just adore you. Call me unpredictable, tell me I'm impractical rainbows I'm inclined to pursue. Call me irresponsible, yes, I'm unreliable, but it's undeniably true. I'm irresponsibly mad for you." Now, where do ideas for songs come from? The idea for this song came from a script written by Henry and Phoebe Ephron called Papa's Delicate Condition. And the character, the lead character, was called irresponsible 1,000 times in the script. And you'd have to be very, very, very bright not to come up with irresponsible. Now, I trust that you noticed that that song has 5-syllable words in it. I only call that to your attention because I come from a 1-syllable neighborhood.
Sammy Kahn playing brief but sincere tribute to Irving Berlin's How Deep Is the Ocean before going on to Call Me Irresponsible. But How Deep Is the Ocean wasn't quite the only memorable song Irving Berlin wrote in 1932. There was another, which never quite made it into the select Ella Fitzgerald Irving Berlin songbook, which tried to encompass a vast career into a mere 32 songs, but I think it was on the shortlist. And I'm reminded of a different version, dating back about 30 years, which makes it one of the oldest albums in my collection.
Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. Everyone is saying you don't love me. Say it isn't so. Everywhere I go, everyone I know whisper that you're growing tired of me. Say it isn't so. People say that you found somebody new, and it won't be long before you leave me. Say it isn't true. Say everything is still okay. That's all I want to know. And what they're saying, oh, please say it isn't so. People say that you found somebody new, and it won't be long before you leave me. Say it isn't true. Say that everything is still okay. That's all I want to know. And what they're saying, please say it isn't so.
Say it isn't so. In 1935, while the British were preparing to celebrate the Silver Jubilee of King George V and Queen Mary, Cole Porter and Moss Hart were aboard the Cunard liner Franconia, sailing through the South Seas, writing a show about an English king and queen who get so fed up with being king and queen that they go off on a trip masquerading as Mr. and Mrs. Smith, taking with them their two children, one of whom, by an odd quirk, is called Princess Diana. The British Foreign Office took a decidedly dim view of all this, fearing that the show would lampoon British royalty, but the British Foreign Office had no power over Cole Porter, and the show went ahead, and it seems to have given offence to nobody. In the story, the king, freed from court protocol, is able to indulge in his great passion, practising rope tricks. The queen falls for a swimming champion, and the Princess Di falls for one Eric Dare, a blatant portrait of Noel Coward. The big sleeper in the show, which was called Jubilee, was of course Begin the Begin, written off the Fiji Islands and based on a Martinique rhythm, and since done to death by all and sundry, especially the sundry. Begin the Begin took a few years to become really famous, but there was another song in the show, a lesser piece, which contains all Porter's suave technique and engaging rhythmic pulse. It's hardly ever heard, but very recently, one of the world's best singers of popular songs revived it.
All my life I've been so secluded, love has eluded me. But from knowing secondhand what I do of it, I feel certain I could stand a closer view of it. Till today, I studied love discreetly, but now that I'm completely free, I must find some kind persona grata to give me data personally. Why shouldn't I take a chance when romance passes by? Why shouldn't I know of love? Why wait around when each age has a sage who has found that upon this earth love is all that is really worth thinking of. It must be fun, lots of fun, to be sure when day is done that the hour is coming when you'll be kissed, and then you'll be kissed again. All debutantes say it's good, and every star out in far Hollywood seems to give it a try. So why It must be fun, lots of fun, to be sure when day is done that the hour is coming when you'll be kissed and then you'll be kissed again. Oh, debutantes, say it's good. And every star out in far Hollywood seems to give it a try. So why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I?
Rosemary Clooney, Why Shouldn't I? Originally sung by the British Royal Family in the 1935 Cole Porter Show Jubilee. Somebody who was born and died in October was the composer Ralph Reichenthal. That was a name which sounded so much like the place where Sherlock Holmes did not tumble to his death that he changed it to Ralph Ranger and became known by that name as one of the best Hollywood writers of the 1930s. In his early years, Ranger worked with Sam Coslow as his lyricist, but later he began the partnership with Leo Robin, for which he's remembered. One day, the pair of them were called in by a despairing producer who wanted some dialogue to be played by a young couple who were once married, are now split, and who regret it. Well, six teams of dialogue writers were called in and thrown out. Finally, they sent for Robin and Ranger and told them to put the scene to music instead. They did, and the upshot was an Oscar.
Thanks for the memory of things I can't forget, journeys on a jet, our wondrous week in Martinique and Vegas and roulette. How lucky I was. And thanks for the memory of summers by the sea, dawn in Waikiki. We had a pad in London, but we didn't stop for tea. How cozy it was. Now since our breakup, I wake up alone on a gray morning after. I long for the sound of your laughter, and then I see the laughs on me. But thanks for the memory of every touch a thrill. I've been through the mill. I've lived a lot and learned a lot. You love me not, and still I miss you so much. Thanks for the memory of how we used to jog, even in a fog, that barbecue in Malibu, away from all the smog. How rainy it was. Thanks for the memory of letters I destroyed, books that we enjoyed. Tonight the way things look, I need a book by Sigmund Freud. How brainy he was. gone are those evenings on Broadway. Together we'd go to a great show, but now I begin with a late show and wish that you were watching too. I know it's a fallacy that grown men never cry. Baby, that's a lie. We had a bed of roses, but forgot that roses die. And thank you so much.
Fifty years ago this week, a movie was unveiled in America which made history. Nothing I can say about it can expand our interest or our admiration. You just have to listen.
I've been a Roman Romeo. My Juliets have been many. But now my Roman days have gone. Too many irons in the fire is worse than not having any. I've had my share, and from now on, I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. I'm betting everything I got on you. Mama, I'm giving all my love to one baby. Lord help me if my baby don't come through. I've got a great big amount saved up in my love account. Honey, and I've decided love divided in two won't do. So I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. I'm betting everything I got on you.
I've been a roaming Juliet, my Romeos have been many, but now my roaming days have gone. Too many irons in the fire is worse than not having any. I've had my share, and from now on, I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. I'm betting everything I've got on you. I'm giving all my love to one baby. Lord help me if my baby don't come through. I've got a great big amount saved up in my love account. Honey, and I've decided love divided in two won't do. So I'm putting all basket. I'm betting everything I've got on you. I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. I'm betting everything I've got on you.
Yes, I'm giving all my love to one baby. Lord help me if my baby don't come through. Yes, and honey, I decided love divided in two won't do. So I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. I'm betting everything I've got on you.
I'm putting all my eggs in one basket from the film Follow the Fleet, which was officially released 50 years ago. The tale about two sisters and two sailors is one of the corniest in all the art of storytelling, but it worked because one of the sailors was Astaire and one of the sisters, Ginger Rogers. The songs were by Irving Berlin, who, like Astaire, received no salary, but instead took 10% of the profits, which must have been a tidy sum. In those days, a film costing $1 million was unheard of. So when the first time round the circuit, Follow the Fleet took $3 million at the box office, everybody was happy. The songs were, of course, marvellous.
As you listen to the band, don't you get a bubble? As you listen to them play, don't you get a glow? If you step out on your floor, you'll forget your trouble. If you go into your dance, you'll forget your woe. So come get together, let the dance floor feel your leather. Step as lightly as a feather, let yourself go. Come hit the timber, loosen up and start to limber. Can't you hear that hot marimba? Let yourself go. Let yourself go, relax and let yourself go. Relax, you got yourself tied up in a knot. The night is cold but the music's hot, so come cuddle closer. Don't you dare to answer no sir, butcher, banker, clerk or grocer. Let yourself go.
And finally, in this week back in 1944, a Broadway show opened with music by Harold Arlen and words by Yip Harburg. The plot was about a daring heroine who campaigns against hoop skirts in favour of something called pantalettes. So they called the musical Bloomer Girl, and it ran and ran for 654 performances, made the reputation of Celeste Holm, and became one of the very few musicals of the day to incorporate the American Civil War into the plot. One of its songs was a celebration of the sheer pleasure of being alive.
River, like to flow, eager, like to fly. Eagle, it likes to feel its wings against the sky. The little possum, it likes to run, yeah. Yes, it do. Ivy, it likes to climb. Bird in the tree and the bumblebee want freedom in autumn or summertime. Ever since that day when the world was an onion, yeah, it was natural for the spirit to soar and play the way the Lord wanted it, free as the sun is free, yeah. That's how it's got to be, yeah. Whatever is right for bumblebee and the river,
Lena Horne, The Eagle and Me, and that's it. See you same time next week.
Listening to In the Benny Green Archives here on lgradio.online. Please do visit the website to find out when the next episode is on, along with all our other shows. This is lgradio.online. Thanks for listening.